He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
2015 or something like that.
2015. And I'm finding it really easy to write. This is the first time, I think, that I can remember that 2015 is easy. Usually I would do 2014 when I'm writing it down, but don't seem to have a problem with that. It seems to flow very naturally.
Yeah, I like Stardate, where you take the actual year that's designated for this solar system or our galaxy, and then it's succeeded or followed by the number of the day of the year. So today would be Stardate 2015.7. And then we would all know that that's the seventh day of a year that's designated with 365
days. Right.
Or I like also a better one, which is the age of the Earth, 4.65 billion years, 2015. That's how many times the Earth has been rotating. Let's get real.
Yeah, let's get real, shall we? Good idea. Let's get real, Dr. Hawley. Let's get real, huh?
Let's focus on what's real and less on what people like to imagine is real. Let's just focus on what's real. So, what's cooking?
What's cooking? What's cooking is the Aftermath health drink. Oh, yeah. So, Aftermath, what does that mean anyway? It means the effect, result, a repercussion of an event, the aftershock or consequence of an event or experience. And I think you all know what I'm talking about, being January. So let's see. Let's hear a few little aftershocks. Have you gained unwanted body fat recently? Is your energy level low? Is your skin dull and dry? Are your bowel movements irregular or painful? Are you craving sweets or alcohol? Are you suffering from sleep deprivation?
No, and no.
Well, this is just a few. I'm just building up to what I'm going to be talking about. Many of these symptoms are common after the holiday celebrations, people. And once they've come and gone, these may sound familiar to you. Or even headaches, or backache, or achy joints. So it's likely that you're feeling the aftermath of a rich diet, a fancy fare, late nights over the past month, drinking, and just having an all-round heck of a good time, right? Now, also could be added stress, being with family members or friends that you don't really care about, but because it's the holiday season, you're stuck together, and then you add a little alcohol to the equation, a little fatty foods, and you've got some stress going on. But nonetheless, what I've got to tell you folks is going to make your day better. The Aftermath drink will increase your energy. You'll get back on track to commence the new year off with a bang. And this recipe, it's easy to prepare, and the benefits are really well worth the effort. Now, you've had this drink too, Corey, haven't you?
I have. Actually, I like to drink it anytime you make it.
Yes, and it does pack a punch, and you can add or subtract some of the ingredients if you like. So imagine a drink that will assist in building up your immune system, aid in holiday fat loss, and act as a powerful tonic for a sore throat, nasal, or bronchial infection. And that's really popular right about now because, let's say, after October, there was Halloween. Then there's like the American Thanksgiving. Then you go right into the holiday season for Christmas, which is like the whole month of December. So, you know, let's say about 2 months. The last 2 months of the year are really can play havoc on your body and your immune system.
Plus, we're all cooped up, and it's cold generally, and so you're inside breathing that warm artificial air, mm-hmm. and you're not moving. You're moving less in winter than in the summer, so that adds to it too.
Depending on where you live, right? Depending on where you live, and we live in the Great White North, so of course we're wearing more clothes. Our body, our skin doesn't get to breathe as much. However, for those of you who are living in beautiful sunny weather, same thing applies, though. You can still be indoors a little bit more, doing some more celebrations, but it's just the intake. It's too much of a good thing, and that's usually what really plays havoc on our body. So we have fresh ginger that can be very helpful for managing symptoms of alcohol withdrawal. Oh, yeah. Ginger acts as a natural antacid by buffering and neutralizing excess acid. It's well known as an effective anti-inflammatory in the sports nutrition field and helps soothe the lining of the gastrointestinal tract. So you know that ginger, there's a lot of products out there with ginger, like there's ginger tea, there's ginger supplements that you can take, which really do help for anti-inflammatory. Fresh ginger is proven research for antibiotic properties. It functions as a febrifuge, is that how you say it?
Sounds okay.
Which reduces and prevents fever, a vermifuge, which expels parasites, and a sudorific, which promotes sweating. And
that's sudorific.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm and being facetious. I'm using that colloquially. It's sudorific. Well, that sounds sudorific, man.
It promotes sweating and also acts as a diuretic, which boosts the excretion of unwanted fluids. So garlic is great for anything that ails you. So raw garlic and even cooked garlic. Chili peppers contain capsaicin, the potent substance that gives them their fiery character. Almost 80% of the capsaicin in chili resides in the seeds and membranes, and chilies can act as a beneficial digestive tonic and also provide therapeutic benefits for the heart and arteries. And chilies are also a great source of vitamin C, who would have thought. So what you want to do is get yourself a big pot, 2 liters or 8 cups or 10 cups of filtered water, a cup of chopped yellow onions, 2 bulbs, yes, folks, 2 bulbs of grated garlic, 4 tablespoons of chopped fresh ginger, 1/2 teaspoon of crushed cumin, 1/2 teaspoon of crushed red chilies or more if you like, and 3/4 cup of freshly squeezed lemon juice, which you want to add after cooking. Now, what you want to do is bring this to a boil and then simmer. You want to simmer it for at least 1 hour. And then once it's been simmered, you can strain it into a pitcher. You can add the lemon juice and you can refrigerate it and drink it throughout the day. Or you can leave it on the stove and just scoop it out with a slotted spoon so that you don't get all the chilies and the ginger and the onion. You just want to drink the broth and drink it warm, which I like to do. That's the best way I like to do it, is drink it warm like a soup broth. And it's just fantastic. Now, what I do is when I'm finished with it, if I do strain it out and I have all this residue, the ingredients I add to a cooked brown rice and I add chopped pineapple, and it makes a really nice rice dish. So who would have thought, huh?
Of regular cooking that you normally do. So this is just a concentrated version to drive out what ails us, huh?
Oh, yeah, and it is potent, very, very potent. But like I said, I don't waste a thing, so I use the leftover ingredients in there and make a nice...
kind of reminds me of Arola's onion and garlic soup, you know, like, I don't know how many onions and whole bulbs of garlic that you just, like, drive into this thing, right, and suck it back.
Now, all my recipes are just, you know, it's just a template for what you can do. You can add more or less of it, but you do want to get the garlic and the ginger and the chilies in there, right? They're really powerful, packing a punch. But, you know, you don't have to drink a large amount of it at one time. Just have a little shooter of it, actually, and drink it throughout the day for a couple of days, and you'll be surprised at how beneficial it is and how much better you feel. And that's it. That's all. There ain't no more of my aftermath drink.
Yes, and of course, in the spirit of prevention, preventive medicine, we don't need to treat something that doesn't exist. So what causes that which we have? Follow the trail backwards, because that's how the law of cause and effect works. I think it's Newton's first law. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So what comes out of something great and wonderful is something great and wonderful. And if it's not great and wonderful, what you're experiencing, it wasn't great and wonderful. It had to be something other than that, and that's how it works.
Well, all right then, if you say so.
Good stuff. That is a great one. And everyone out there, this aftermath stuff is great. Make it up and then keep it in the fridge, reheat it. I mean, it's really good stuff.
It certainly is.
Okay, so who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Miss Carmen James. Carmen is the head coach of the University of Hawaii's women's track and field team for almost 15 years. Now, most of the track coaches, the women's track coaches, or people that go from the U.S. or Canada and go to Hawaii usually last about a year. So she's been the longest one, longevity. And she's very passionate about her work and very high energy. And you can tell in her voice that she's passionate and very knowledgeable, too, and a great speaker.
And very likable.
Yeah.
You know, if anything, if I could label her as anything, she's very Hawaiian.
But she's not Hawaiian.
I know.
She's Canadian.
What I mean. Hawaiian is not about living there or being, you know, having Hawaiian blood. It's an attitude, it's a behavior, it's a consciousness.
Yes, but she is a true and blue B.C. girl, although she was born in Calgary, right, Corey?
Yes.
She is a B.C. girl and traveled around British Columbia and went to UBC, and she had the opportunity to go to Hawaii, the Rock, she calls it, but nonetheless, she loves it there and has the true Hawaiian spirit. It was interesting because you asked her the question about what she thinks about violence in sports, and she says it's all about entertainment. Right?
As a means to an end.
Yes.
Although I loved her response, and she says, yeah, there might not be the kind of violence in track that you're talking about, Corey, like guys swinging at each other or kicking each other or elbowing each other in the face, which I hate and detest. But if you want to see violence, let's measure the forces that are acting upon a sprinter. Now, that's violent. And I thought, holy mackerel,
that
sport is violent, but not with intent from another person to hurt or injure someone else.
That violence, if you wanted the violent force, is what you need to drive yourself to get to move. Right? It's almost like torque or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's what splits people in two or causes their hamstrings to rip off.
Yeah.
And all the injuries that you see because of the nature of the intensity.
I thought that was a really interesting comment she made too. And we also talked about what is a coach? And she said a coach should provide having a sound sports science knowledge, psychology, good communication skills, positive energy, and a caring nature for the athletes. And you had mentioned that, well, I've had coaches in my life, and you have had coaches in your life, and there was no caring nature for the athletes, I'll tell you. It was all about win, do the job, and get lost. You couldn't talk to them. You couldn't communicate with them. And if you did communicate with them, they really didn't care. They had the one-size-fits-all answer, right?
Yeah, you know what you do when you listen to a previous special guest interview? You take notes, right? And we're reviewing those notes now. And I just think that this is a great technique of improving your understanding for students, that when you listen to a tutorial, you should take notes and then review them and even, you know, log them somewhere, file them or put them in some kind of file folder, and then you can go back to them and pull those great lines, those great ideas very quickly.
Yes.
You've reviewed them. I think that's a great way to improve your understanding of the information.
Well, for sure. And I get chills up my spine. Well, let's say maybe not chills up my spine, but the hair on my arms raises up when I listen to these special guest interviews because they all are so unique and fantastic. You do a great job, Corey, of searching them out. You really do. But yes, being a coach, there's more to it than just showing people how to do something. You mean, if you want to get the most out of your athletes, you really need to work with them. And Carmen's rule of thumb for finding good athletes, because that's part of her job, is not just to coach the athletes, but also to recruit. She calls it the 4-H club: hardworking, highly motivated, healthy, and happy. And this is what you want for long-term athletes who are really going to do something in their life. Of course, you need to be hardworking and highly motivated, but healthy in the way that they have a strong, good, healthy attitude, not just healthy in their body because they take their supplements and eat well and get lots of sleep, but they have a healthy attitude, and they're happy. They have a disposition of happiness, not anger, and they get along with everybody.
Yeah, there's actually even a TV show on TV right now with all of these ridiculous types of shows. What is that called?
A reality show.
They have a reality show now about mean coaches.
Really?
There's so many mean coaches that coach athletes that they've actually made a show about this. I've had them. Have you ever had a mean coach?
Me?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. See, they're so common that they've made a show out of it. So, you know, let's face it. A coach who's an asshole, who's mean and mistreats their athletes, shouldn't be in that position, and there's got to be a filter system to keep those people out, because that is destructive and it ruins the sport. Or maybe that's why there's so much violence in sport, because we've got violence in the locker room and violence coming out of the person driving the athletes.
Yes, because I mean, if you want to get good sportsmanship, and really that's what it's all about, good sportsmanship, how can you get good sportsmanship out of an athlete if you've got a mean coach telling them that they're no good, they can't do it, and the way their techniques are, which are mean and nasty, rude and crude? How can you get a good, positive athlete out of that? I don't think you can. You might get them to win, but really at the end of the day, it just builds anger.
Well, what will happen is the athlete will walk away.
Or they won't
be able to take this crap, basically.
Or what you're doing is you're building the athlete to win out of anger, with the wrong emotion. Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but anyways, Carmen says that great athletes are born, good genes, and made, and have good coaches. She says it's all of the above.
Well, you said, how can a coach get more out of their athlete? But I turned it around in my brain. How does an athlete get more out of their coach?
Right.
And what that reminded me of was, I think it was in grade 8, and I was in science class. Don't remember the science teacher's name. And we were doing an exam, and he said to the class, now, you can ask anyone in the room for the answer. And, of course, not one person in the room thought of asking the teacher.
Huh.
And at the end, he explained this to us, and of course I'm telling you now because I never forgot it. Instead, you know, like when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Well, I turned it around. When the teacher is ready, the student appears. You turn it all around. Anything that is held as common thought or thinking, turn it around.
Yeah, exactly.
And apply that in the opposite sense.
Well, there you go.
What happens? Usually you get phenomenal results.
The Costanza principle.
There you go. There's another good example.
Anyway, the new thing, there's lots of new things going on in Hawaii right now for sports and entertainment and hobby. Yoga on a surfboard. Right? Yoga on a surfboard. Don't know if I'm brave enough to try that. But anyway, she's been doing that, and she's got one of her girlfriends that teaches it. And there's so much you can do there in Hawaii. But anyway, I just want to thank Carmen so much for a fantastic interview. And I wish that I had a coach like her for dancing. I did have a couple of them that were really, really cool and very understanding. But when I was younger in my PE classes, maybe I would have been a different type of athlete, but steered toward the dancing. But
well, you know, it's amazing how many athletes have terrible relationships with their father or mother.
Yes.
But they, for whatever reason, and for whatever reason in time, they connect with their coach, and that coach becomes like a father or mother that they never had. And that's where the compassionate, loving, kind, tender-hearted, but firm and driving coach, a coach that doesn't take any crap and everybody has to pull their weight and he or she appreciates your effort and when you show up and rewards people with not just physical reward, but mental and emotional applause, and they back you up and they're there for you. And then when you have a hard time in your life, you know, I give you examples, but I've had coaches show up in my life when no one else would. And that means a lot to that person who, you know, was relying on maybe someone else that typically would be there but didn't show up. And guess who shows up? Your coach.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. Well, there you have it. So think about that if any of you are coaches out there. Be understanding. Firm, friendly, firm, frank, fair, and fun. It's a formula.
That's right. If you're a personal trainer, you are a coach.
That's right.
Get that down. And you're a lot more, too. Psychiatrist, psychologist, review analyst. Man, I'll tell you what, you're almost equal to a mother in a home and all the hats that she wears. Super duper duper. Okay, so we'll finish off with your hot topic.
Ooh, my hot topic would be clean your closet for 2015. And your closet being not just your closet in your bedroom or in your front hallway. The closet is clean everything out. If it doesn't serve you, then get rid of it. I'm talking about not just pots and pans and clothes. I'm talking about friendships. I'm talking about family members. I'm talking about you name it. Your cell phone, your radio, your stereo, your old makeup, everything. If it doesn't work, then get rid of it. Because it's got to serve you, not you serve it.
Well, that's the thing. You nailed it down. Now my personal philosophy is I buy what I need, and I virtually want nothing physical. The things that I desire and want are more internal, you know, like I want to demonstrate progress, I want to become a better human being. It has nothing to do with stuff on the outside, unless the thing that will help me achieve greatness, which is what I need, not what I want, but what I need. So, like, for example, how many pairs of running shoes do you have? 85 or one? And do you need more than one? Well, maybe you need a pair for track. Maybe you need a pair for walking. But how much of what do you need? And if you have more than you need, then you're going to be guilty of hoarding, whether it's in the very slight or the greater end of the scale, because it's a continuum. Hoarding is a continuum. You know, I've seen people hoarding stuff that's mind-boggling, but then it's reminded me of the fact that I am myself hoarding stuff that I don't need. It's taking up space. I'm concerned about it. I'm trying to protect it. I need to insure it and blah, blah, blah. So it starts to possess you. That's when you're hoarding.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it's not, it could be just a bunch of junk, right?
Well, the junk weighs us down. It's like this huge amount of mass. And so be like Atlas, who shrugged the weight of the world off. And guess what? He started to move freely.
Well, it's also like, do you have a membership to the library? Are you not using it? Get rid of it. Do you have a membership to the gym? And you got two memberships to two gyms, but you never go to this one gym. Then get rid of it. Or go through your wallet and take a look at all your cards and all that. Do you really need some of them? No.
How about a credit card? You're paying an excessive amount of interest and not even paying attention. So you start looking, watching your money, I call it, and you start saying, my goodness, I didn't realize how much I was paying every month and these little tiny expenses that the bank literally steals from us without even asking us.
Yes, exactly.
So if you follow and watch, you'll learn and you'll pay attention, and these little things start to add up. And they say that, you know, God is in the details. Why do they say that? It's because these little things can really bring us down, whereas the insurmountable, huge, giant waves that come at us, well, everyone knows that there's nothing anyone can do, so we just kind of learn to accept that, but then we get bogged down, we get stressed out, we mull down in our minds, we get depressed over these little tiny things, and it's because we're not paying attention.
Well, you know, I would like to hear from people, if anybody, some of our students or listeners, if you get rid of somebody, a so-called friend or family member this year, who's doing you no justice whatsoever. Every time you see them, you get a headache, they bring you down, they wear out your energy, and they really are not nice people to you. Get rid of them. You know, who says that you have to be friends with a family member? You have to love this family member. If they're not doing you justice and they make you feel bad and they don't support you, and I don't mean financially, if they don't support you in a loving, caring way and whatever and respect you, it's about respect and trust. To me, if I have no trust in a relationship, there is no relationship. Right?
Well, and perhaps not a productive one. And also, be careful what you say about getting rid of them. Does that mean poison them and bury them in your backyard?
You'll never know, Dr. Holly.
Yeah, you wonder how many people, men in particular, have been poisoned by their wives.
Oh, Hardy. Good idea. Anyway, nonetheless, I think everybody knows what I'm talking about, because I know, because I've talked to a lot of people in my day, and a lot of people hang on to relationships, and they don't even like the person, but they feel obligated.
That's a terrible way to live.
And I'm just like, it's over. Get rid of it.
It's over.
All right. What is with you? You must be happy in 2015.
I am happy today. It's not 2015. I keep telling you. $4.65 billion.
Oh, the cows in the field don't know it's New Year's. All right. I've heard that song and dance.
We were on the bus the other day, and I was looking out the window, gazing at the cattle in the field, and I was thinking, my goodness, I'm so much like them.
And okay.
Meat for slaughter.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, I would like to hear from people, you know, if you've done this, and touche to you, because, you know, it lightens your load, and then you realize it's like a thorn in your side or heaviness on weight on your shoulders. Like, these people are not beneficial to you. Just bless them and let them go. You don't need to be mean to them and say, I don't ever want to see you again. I can't stand you. You just let them go peacefully. Let them go, and you'll realize that, yeah, these people weren't beneficial. They were dragging me down. And then what you do is when you let something go, you open up the doors, you have more space for new people to come in that will be beneficial. And you need to be fussy about the people that you relate to and relate with and hang out with, right? It's all about self-respect. There you have it. That's my hot topic, clean your closet in more ways than one in 2015.
Awesome. And your final word, dun-da-da-dun.
My final word is by Oprah Winfrey. Cheers to a new year and another chance for us to get it right.